launching a brand in any categories, and especially in consumer categories, very easy. It's just like anyone who wants to launch a brand can launch a brand tomorrow. It is not about launching the brand. That perhaps at best is a label.
So hi everyone, welcome to the podcast. So today we're joined by phenomenal guest Ujjwal Saran, who founded New Republic. So hi, Ujjwal. So firstly, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on, like, how did you find PMF for New Republic, and like, how did this idea come about?
Well, Ruhi, thank you so much for having me on board here. It's a pleasure to talk to you. New Republic as a brand came about in 2018, when I first had the idea of building an electronic brand around lifestyle products. It was part of a consortium of many brands which used to manage as a distribution house. In 2022, we charted out New Republic as an independent brand. And ever since, in the last 1.5 years, 1 year plus, we have made massive strides in the growth of the brand. Regarding your question on how have we found a PMF for the brand, New Republic is a wear tech brand. So our product portfolio comprises of personal audio devices like earbuds, speakers, smartwatches, charging solutions, and anything which is related to tech but is worn by people or carried around as an accessory. We are on a mission to reimagine this drab world of electronics. Our product market fit is very simple. Between 2010 to 2022, you know, in the last decade, brands have basically made customers and users used to wireless. In the sense, there was this entire revolution where wireless was ushered into our lives. We were not born with wireless. But today's generation is being born wireless. For them, they have never really seen wired. In the next decade, people would not look at Bluetooth as a technology, but as something which is absolutely ubiquitous. It's everywhere. In such a scenario, we at New Republic believe that these electronics are born to be worn like clothes. They are not supposed to be tech. They are not real gadgets, but they are a mode of self-expression. So all our products are expressive, are innovative, are beautifully crafted, and we try and make them the funkiest in their category. So we are heralding a revolution of making wear tech a accessory rather than pure technology. I hope I'm clear.
Yeah, that was very clear, and I kind of understood like what you're building. So I'm just curious, like, is this a made in India brand, and like, what are your thoughts on building for India in India?
Well, this is a made in India brand. The brand was conceptualized in India. The brand is very much in India. We have a team of multicultural team of almost 50 plus people sitting in various parts of India. We also have a sourcing and manufacturing facilities in India. So it's very much an Indian brand. We have components which come from various parts of the world, but everything is assembled in India, manufactured in India, sold to Indians. We are also exporting to other countries. We've just started exporting to Nepal. We've exported to South Africa in the past. We've exported to even Russia in the past, Brazil. So it's a very much an Indian brand with global ambitions.
That's very cool to hear that it's a global brand and all the amazing work that's being done at your front. So my next question is, so like, what is it like competing against the likes of both lifestyle and like other brands and companies out there that are trying to do something in a similar space as you? So how have you kind of fended off the competition?
But I don't look at them as competition. I believe they are on a different quest, a different journey, a different path. That path is about making wireless as a category accessible to all. I'm on a different path altogether. That path is making wireless cool. These are two completely different paths. One path believes that wireless should be available to all, should be massified, should be standardized. And the path which we have taken is that wireless accessories or any other such accessories are a form of self-expression. I'm not looking at Boat or any of the well-entrenched players as competition. They are seriously not a competition. We are on different paths altogether.
Just curious to hear, like, what are your thoughts on Shark Tank India? So Shark Tank India has become all the craze in India. A lot of people follow it for the entrepreneurs and for the aspiring entrepreneurs out there. So, like, what is your take on Shark Tank India and like people like Aman Gupta and like stuff like that coming on as judges and kind of sh giving like advice to these companies? Like, would you be open to doing something like a Shark Tank India in the future?
I as a platform, I think Shark Tank is a great platform. It brings entrepreneurship. It simplifies it for everyone else to understand. Anyone who's an aspiring entrepreneur, for them, it's a great place to learn, understand what different kinds of businesses are happening, how people are doing it in a very concise and straightforward environment. So I think as a platform, it's great. I've really liked not only India but also the Shark Tank, which airs in other countries. I've really liked Shark Tank US as well over the years. So I think it's a great platform. Obviously, all the judges, including Aman and others, are very inspiring. Have inspired a whole generation of entrepreneurs to scale big and win big. And I think it's just great. What else do I say about that? Personally, I don't think I'll I don't know. Personally, I don't think I fit in there. But yeah, never say never.
Okay, sure. Thanks for clarifying that. And then, like, I'm just curious, like, so you had this, like, partnership or, like, you had this brand ambassadorship going on with Farhan Akhtar and his wife. So, like, how did you get them on board? Like, how did you convince them, like, New Republic is the brand to back?
Well, I presented them my take on what my take on this category is, and somewhere it resonated with their own thoughts. Like I explained, some brands are built to herald a new technology into people's life, and once people buy into that technology, they start a consumption journey within that category. So I am, and our brand New Republic is for consumption within the category. It is very different from making the category accessible to some people, and that's something which I think resonated with Farhan and Shivani, and both of them have been disruptors, trailblazers in their own professions, in their own careers. They have redefined culture, they have redefined fashion, they've redefined music, and what they have done resonated very well with what we want to do. We also want to disrupt the way people look at this industry. We want to disrupt the way people look at this category. We want to disrupt the way in which in which we do business in this category. So there was a meeting of values, there were meetings of mind, and that's how they got convinced and came on board.
That's a really interesting story of like how one can convince through just by having the same values. So my next question is, does having influencers on board like Farhan and his wife, does that really help the company grow? And how can like a company grow more sustainably? Like say New Republic or like any of the other wear tech brands out there, like how can they like grow sustainably?
Well, having I would not call I would not call I would not only label them as influencers. They are much more. Both Farhan and Shivani add a lot of credibility to our vision. They add a credibility to our vision for the market. The market would, everyone out there believes us, would believe us more, and we would take a dip from their own brands, which they have created over so many decades. And any such association, any such collaboration always helps the brand. It always helps the brand reach more people, more effectively, faster, and believability increases. People will trust us more, and that would definitely lead to increase in business. I would not say that and in any such association, it is not overnight success is never doesn't happen anyway. But what it does is it creates a solid a solid baseline on which we grow as a business. So we have seen growth in all parameters of our business, of sales, of marketing, of recall, of doors opening, of new businesses coming in, ever since we have announced this collaboration, and we are very, very proud of this collaboration.
So on the topic of growth, so like what have been some of these growth levers that have kind of catapulted New Republic to success in your opinion?
Well, I would feel that at a very fundamental level, the way we look at a category is refreshing. It changes the perspective. Instead of only operating at a lever of, only operating at levers of price and availability, you look at levers of how does it make me feel, the attitudinal benefits, and we double down on those, and that is very different from the way other brands are perhaps looking at it. So that's something which has worked for us. That then translates into the kind of products we make, the kind of branding we do, the kind of messaging we have, the kind of people, users we attract. So everything flows down from that vision, that mission of using electronics as a form of accessory. It's not an earbud which I wear in my ear. It's like a locket which I have in my, around my neck, or it's like a bracelet which I wear in my hands. It is supposed to accentuate my own self-worth. It is supposed to help me stand out in the crowd. It is supposed to help get me approval from my peers, get attention from them, and thereby helping me win in my own eyes, so that this vision is at the center, and then everything then flows around it. And this vision can be very different from a pure play electronic organization, or a pure play tech led brand, for whom this vision will not be around the levers which I have described to you. They perhaps would be around accessibility, about pricing, about making more and more people making more and more people use your brand, continuously reduce the price table, get more people inside. So, levers are very, very different.
Yeah, I think just to take a quick takeaway is like having this vision and the vision being central to the core of the product and everything that you're trying to build around the product. So my next question is like touching on that like Indian startup ecosystem, like who is someone that you look up to in the ecosystem and who is someone that you admire a lot and like what qualities do you admire about them?
Well, I don't have to think far. I admire a friend of mine called Deep Bajaj. He runs Serona Hygiene. He is the definite voice of feminine hygiene in India. He's a very close friend. I really admire what he has done as an entrepreneur, as a social entrepreneur, and generally, how he has taken this pick taken up this cause and taken this mainstream. And I, every possible boxes is checked, right? From a vision standpoint, from a social standpoint, and that's something which I really admire.
That's really great that you have such a fond like feeling of admiration for your friend. So my last question is like, what is the 0 to 1 of building a brand in India? So you touched a bit about branding and like you have like a lot of experience in marketing. So like, what could you say is like the 0 to 1 of building a brand in India?
And say more. What do you mean? What do you mean when you say 0 to 1?
In the sense, like, how do you go from 0 to 1? Like, like they always say it's like 0 to 100 users. So, like, how do you go from that 0.0 to like 1 in like launching a brand in India?
See, Launching a brand in any categories, and especially in consumer categories, very easy. It's just like anyone who wants to launch a brand can launch a brand tomorrow. It is not about launching the brand. That perhaps at best is a label. The day it will transition into a brand is the day when when you have a clear vision, and that clear vision translates into what your clear targeted customers want. And you build products as per your vision, and you build them over and over and over again, and your customers start accepting them. That's where you start that one first baby step towards towards going from zero to one. And I wouldn't say, it just doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of time, effort, and I would say all through this time and effort, you can't dilute your vision. That's when great brands are made. You keep diluting your vision. You keep telling yourself that, okay, I'm going to try something else. I'm going to tweak it. You give it some fancy word, and you continuously change direction. I don't think you'll end up making a brand you'll be proud of, or you'll be end up making any kind of brand. Brands will only be made when you stick to your vision. When you stick to what your customer wants, that is a function of how your vision translates into changing your customers or addressing your customer's requirement. And you're at it over and over and over again.
For sure, I think putting in the reps is so crucial, and like it's not an overnight success, as you said. So my next thing is, so like do share like how the audience can get in touch with you, how they can like learn more about what you're building, and just connect with you on socials and anything you'd like to share. Now's your time to promote.
Well, I'm very much accessible through social media, through LinkedIn, through other platforms, through mails, I just feel that I would just inspire everyone. I've been on both ends of the thing. I started my career in large organizations across multiple roles, and eventually I got into entrepreneurship. And today it's been almost say 8 years since I've been chasing this dream. I just feel there is no nobler profession than entrepreneurship. It helps you grow as a professional. It opens you up to different facets of your own life. It opens up every single chink in your own personality, in your own armor, and you have to win through it to win in the market. So I don't think there is a better profession than being an entrepreneur, and I would really wish everyone should do it, at least once in their lives.
For sure, it's like so great to see your optimism for entrepreneurship and for startups and for the startup scene in India, which is actually quite a blossoming startup scene compared to some of the other.
So if you're listening to this podcast right now, I have an open opportunity to reach this audience. So if you want to reach college students and freshers interested in startups and venture capital, and just in terms of the demographics, the age of 18 to 22 is the highest age demographic, and India and US are the two largest country demographics of listeners for this podcast. Email me at bizpodruhi@gmail.com. So thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode, and hope you've learned something new.